Good afternoon. We call it Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, February 3rd, 2022, and the time is 1:04 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. Co-Chair Stedman is present. Senator Olson is present. Senator Wilikowski is present. Senator Wilson is present. Senator Hoffman's away on other state business. Myself, Senator Bishop, and Senator Von Imhoff is online. Senator Von Imhoff, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, can we turn the volume up just a skosh there? Thank you. All right, today's agenda, SB 9, Alcoholic Beverage Control, Alcohol Regulations. This is a fourth hearing of SB 9. We've heard public testimony January 20th. Our intention is to consider a committee substitute and one amendment, review fiscal notes, and look to the will of the committee. CS is before us for introduction. Mr. Co-Chair, could you have a motion for the CS?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Finance Committee adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 9, Finance 32LS024, Version G, before the committee as our working document.
Thank you, and I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Ms. Schein, would you come before us and walk us through this DS?
Good afternoon, for the record. My name is Erin Schein. I am staff to Co-Chair Bishop and the Finance Committee. The CS before you, version G, makes a few changes from the previous version that came to the committee, which was version I. There are two policy changes and then multiple effective date changes, and I'll go through the sections that have been changed, and I can answer any questions as I go along. So the first change is in section 13, which is on page 30, lines 22 through page 32, line 20. This amends 0409370 from a winery direct shipment license to a manufacturer direct shipment license. It also sets shipping limits by liters or ounces for distilled spirits, wine, and brewed beverages per each transaction and per calendar year. There are multiple conforming changes throughout the bill to change the name from a winery direct shipment license to a manufacturer direct shipment license. Those are found in sections 26, 28, 33, 40, 51, 62, 90, and 140. The next change can be found in section 68, which is page 79, lines 26 and 27. This amends AS 0411491A by adding a new subsection H to allow through local option voting for local option communities in a municipality for a package store license limited to selling beer and wine only. Similarly, in section 69, page 80, lines 23 through 24, amends AS 0411491B by adding a similar subsection H for local option communities established in villages to allow for package store license limited to beer and wine only. The next change is in section 159, that's on page 117, lines 16 through 18. It amends AS 4330060 from a winery direct shipment tax to manufacturer direct shipment tax to conform to changes in section 13 that I highlighted before. The next four changes are for effective dates, which are in sections 167, which changes the transitional implementation date from January 1st, 2023 to January 1st, 2024. In section 171, I believe, on page 124, lines 5, and this changes the effective date for sections 168A and 169 from January 1st, 2023 to January 1st, 2024. In section 173, it changes the effective date for sections 167 from September 1st, 2022 to September 1st, 2023. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, section 174 changes the effective date for the entire act from January 1st, 2023 to January 1st, 2024, and all of the effective dates were only just moved 1 year because the bill was not adopted or made into law last year. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you. Any questions to the CS? I'm going to, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you talked about Section 68 and 69, 69 in particular, where you're dealing with villages, and 68 because it's also including the local option use, what does that do with some of the villages that are have voted themselves dry?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, if a village has voted themselves dry, I believe that it would not change that. Mm-hmm. There, but I would have to check with department or legislative legal. I think this is just providing one more option for a local option two community that allows currently a restaurant or eating place license, a beverage dispensary license, a package store license, a caterer, a winery license, except for sales only in person, and then an outdoor recreational lodge license. This would add one more to allow a license for a package store only for wine and beer with no liquor.
Mr. Chairman, would the bill's sponsor be able to answer the question?
Sure. Senator Machicki, Mr. President, would you please come forward? Put yourself on the record, and I believe you heard the question. You don't need it repeated.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This does not automatically allow in dry communities that have not voted to allow the distribution and sales, it does not allow that to occur. If I'm answering the question, I understood the question correctly, it simply allows it to be an option if the community decided that the distribution of alcohol was going to become legal through a local option vote.
Mr. Chairman, I have the bill sponsor in up here. Can I ask him another question?
Sure.
Him and I have talked about a number of issues that have come out there, and one of the big problems that we have is bootlegging out in the villages. With this subsection that with this section 68 and 69 that has been added to it in the CS, how does that affect the unlawful distribution of alcoholic beverages, whether it's sold or not?
So I appreciate that question, Senator Olson, if I may. Is that okay, just to be clear? One of the primary focuses of the public safety and recovery folks in this bill was the tracking and flow, tracking the flow of alcohol to rural Alaska, particularly in dry communities. So we have several tracking mechanisms in the bill that currently do not exist. We're hoping to be able to get a more clear picture of where, and this affects everyone from shippers to the manufacturers and those that are distributing alcohol, but we hope to get a more clear picture of where bootlegging is occurring, and we've got tighter controls on being able to identify those individuals and hopefully put them out of business forever.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I remove my objection to the CS as our working document. Is there any amendments to be offered today? Senator Olson, you want to move your amendment and speak to it? I'll object, then we'll speak to it.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
I object. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, what amendment number one does, it deletes portions of the bill, page 71, 72, 72, and places like that. And what it does is actually takes out the portion that says where more than one brewer retail, one winery retail, one distillery retail license for each 12,000 people in population or a fraction of that population. And the same is noted on page 72 as well as on the bottom part of page 72. And the reason for this is, first of all, I have no communities within my Senate district that reaches from the Canadian border to the Russian border all the way down there that has anything close to 12,000. In fact, my biggest hub villages have less than 4,000 people. So in order for anybody else to get a brewer's license or a license that has been noted here, you would have to have a whole, it's not going to happen. And what I don't like to see, and I bring this from my business background, is that I don't like monopolies. And what I see right here is a monopoly. One person gets a license, and there's going to be no way that anybody in my district, any community in my district, is going to have a population that even approaches 12,000. So the chances of having a second license, as is portrayed here, is never going to happen. So I have looked at this and with the idea that when I was in business, one of the things I really hated was having monopolies that are out there. And we've seen it here in the legislature. You've got single source contracts. I just grate at that kind of a business practice. What I'm in favor of, instead of having a monopoly out there, is to let the free market dictate it. Let them decide whether they're going to spend the money, not some bureaucrat in whatever governmental agency there is. Let them, if they want to put their money in, let them put their money down. Go back to the old way that where you had a different number that is out there, so you can open it up for those people that have good ideas, those people that entrepreneurs that want to go out and risk something. And sure, many of them are going to lose their money. I've lost money in business. Fortunately, not. There have been other things that have brought it up, but that's part of being in the free enterprise system, is that we let the market dictate it, not some politician down here in Juneau or in Washington, D.C. And so that's why I put this amendment in, Mr. Chairman, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Senator Stedman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just maybe hear from the bill sponsor. I'd like to know what, you know, when it says one brewery retail, one winery retail, one distiller retail license for each population over 12,000 people. I only have one town with over 12,000 people, and that's if you count the borough and the city. So I'd like to hear from the bill sponsor on exactly what type of brewery would be, you know, is included and the winery is included, and so I'm clear on the amendment.
Senator Michicki, Conrad Jackson, please come to the table and put yourselves on the record again, please.
Senator Peter Michicki, District O on the Kenai.
Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Michicki.
If I may, it's just going to take a few minutes because I think there's some things that would be helpful to unwind just from the questions we're getting. And I know this is a big bill. It's somewhat complicated. But remember when I started off on this conversation in front of this committee when I said not every bar owner supports this bill, but Char supports this bill. And I closed with not every manufacturer supports the bill, but the Brewers Guild supports this bill. There's a reason for that. And we focused on a lot of things, but there's been, in my view, an unfair amount of pressure from a sort of more traditional alcohol industry through the years that wanted to put the clamps onto brewers and tasting rooms. If you remember a couple years back, they weren't allowed to have fun. There was this huge package, regulation package, that had 1,200 pages of testimony against it because they were just really trying to clamp down on any activity. So we got with the different entities and said, what allows additional competition from breweries and tasting rooms that allows them to expand what they're able to do? And that's how we went from the close at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., able to have events, not only permitted events, but community activities. They weren't allowed to do those things. But remember, all alcohol in Alaska, all licensing is on population caps. So they went back and forth and said, what will impact understanding what the growth will look like, but still leave a lot of room for additional opportunities throughout Alaska? And I think some of that's been misunderstood. One of the primary things that I hear people saying is we don't have 12,000 people in our town. You don't need 12,000. Every community can have the first brew pub. It would take 12,001 for a second one, but every community can have a brew pub. But there's some numbers that I think I need to share. And in that deal, we also made it that folks that want to have a brew pub, I'm sorry, a tasting room, and change that into where they can serve their product on site, can now purchase a restaurant eating place license, a beverage distillery license, and be a bar. So they can sell all they want to, they can compete all they want to, with those other license types that are also on population caps. But, you know, nationally, brewpub model businesses make up 40% of the total breweries in the U.S. All in Alaska, they're less than 20%. Now, these are brew pubs. In 2019, Alaska brew pubs sold on average nearly 10 times the amount of beer on premises than their tasting room counterpart. So tasting rooms are, you know, 10%. Alaska was fifth in the nation breweries per capita in 2020, up from sixth place in 2019. So there has been growth. There could have been additional growth through the years. There are no longer brew caps or pop caps on breweries, distilleries, and wineries in Alaska, just tasting rooms. So there's unlimited growth on the ability to start their business, move forward, decide if they want to go into the tasting room business. In 2019, 88% of all craft beers produced in Alaska were sold to distributors and retailers. They didn't even mess with the tasting room. Great product. Very popular product. We have some excellent beers in Alaska. I know probably very few of you at this table have sampled any of them, but I have to admit I have. Most choose just to distribute. In 2019, around half of the remaining 12%, 6% in Alaska total, were sold on premises at BDL licensed breweries. So that's what they were selling to distributors, going to a BDL and selling. Now they'll be able to get their own BDL license. So this was a way that we decided that we can eliminate unfair competition or allow fair competition, eliminate sort of the monopolies. It's kind of counter to what you would think it would be, right? So all communities not governed by local option statutes may have one of each of the license types on the breweries, distilleries, and wineries. I'm sorry. On the tasting rooms, regardless of population, every small community can have one of each. There's no cap on breweries, distilleries, and wineries that don't have tasting rooms. And this was just kind of a fairness thing. But people may think, and I got to tell you, the marijuana, cannabis folks thought they didn't want population caps. So a lot of people started businesses, they sunk their life savings into them. And I get it, it's a free market thing. But now they're asking for us to consider that because they're failing at a record number. A lot of people started these businesses and realized that it takes a certain amount of population. It takes a population customer base in order to survive. So a couple other things to think about. Most brewery startups on the rail belt generally cost between $500,000 and $1 million bucks for a small-scale brewery with no packaging operations. Startups in rural or off-road communities generally cost 30% more to start up and 20 to 30% more to operate annually due to higher costs of freight, labor, and utilities. What I'm trying to do is paint a picture of the economics, because we don't believe the 1 in 12,000 is going to keep people that want to be in the tasting room business out of the tasting room business. When they run the economics, particularly in rural Alaska, where you need a significant water source, you need the capacity for a significant amount of wastewater, the expense of moving the products, the bottling, all of those things, it's very, very difficult to compete. So we don't think it'll keep folks that want to move forward in the industry. There's an adequate room for expansion over the next several years throughout Alaska, which is why the Brewers Guild, decided to agree to this. They thought it gave them the ability to compete with the additional opportunities that they're given in existing businesses. They thought there was room for expansion and they thought it was a reasonable number that we're going to keep there. Now, remember, they were very protective about this at first. They saw the benefits in what they were receiving, and they thought it was a fair mix. So because of that, I think there are a lot of misunderstandings about this bill. If you have a village of 300, you can have a brewery, you can have unlimited breweries, you can have one tasting room. If you think the economics of two tasting rooms can be supported in a small village of several hundred people, it's not going to be a reality. In fact, you can go into much larger communities, and it would be very difficult to open your doors and stay open more than for a very short time if you had several in a small community. So a lot of people work together. I've said that if the Title IV working group were the legislature, we probably would have moved forward a little bit more effectively. They all gave something up. They all gained something. And this was what they came up with that they thought gave a lot of opportunity to breweries and tasting rooms as well as distilleries and wineries without squashing the ability to compete and be successful in their businesses.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Machicki, as you look at that, realizing you've not maybe been in business yourself, but you've been in the private sector, but for those of us that have, why not let the free market decide who's out there, not a group of politicians that are around the finance table here? Let them decide whether they want to go in there and make money. When you look at people that have survived in business after going out on ventures, you think of FedEx and people that are known across the world that started out with a business plan that even the professors at Harvard and one of the Ivy League schools thought it wasn't going to work. But why not let them make the decision as opposed to those of us that are not not really or don't have the background, and certainly not in business right now. We're just a bunch of people that are voted in and are going to be voted out sometimes here in the very near future or unless we retire.
That's a great question, Senator, and I am a free market guy that has owned several businesses through the years. My favorite was a restaurant. Just kidding. But I did own a restaurant. I had to compete, and I had to compete by offering the best product and outcompete folks that were trying to do the same thing. Some of them fail, some of them succeed. If it were in my power to eliminate, completely change over the alcohol industry, and I wasn't worried about overconsumption, and I wasn't worried about distribution in rural and, frankly, urban Alaska, if I wasn't worried about a lot of those things, I might be in a big push to eliminate population caps and all licensing types. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Alcohol is not the same as other businesses. So what did we do? We pushed back on people that wanted tighter controls, and we said, we want the free market to work. I'm going to take it to the limit. I'm going to give it the number that I think, after listening to all these different people in these different groups, will allow the industry to expand, that will still allow those that can be the most competitive to survive. There's still going to be failures. There are every day. But this is as far as I could push it on allowing the free market to work. I am with you, especially in other business types. But there are counter forces that have to deal with, you heard in public testimony, the number one substance abuse, or substance that is abused in the state of Alaska and always has been, is alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. We need to balance the importance of the industry with a fair climate and adequate control so that we don't flood the state with a substance that destroys many lives. I believe this is a fair balance. The industry and the people that are opening brew pubs and tasting rooms believe it's a fair balance, most of them. And that's the number we landed upon for that fairness to be executed.
Any questions, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you. Senator Stedman?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if I could get some help from the bill sponsor. You know, we talk about one brewery retail and one distillery retail versus a tasting room.
You help? Yes.
Help me with that as far as, you know, I understand what you go into a tavern that makes its own beer in the back, and maybe they seat 50 people or some number. and how that works. And I think that's similar to somebody that's doing a distillery versus a tasting room. So where I'm in the population issues on those two styles of business.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. What they're referring to in this case is a tasting room. So there's not a cap at all on breweries, distilleries, or wineries. The brewery retail, winery retail, and distillery retail is specifically talking about tasting rooms like Amalga down the street or Devil's Club or one of those where you can get the three drinks and a visit. So they're specifically talking about that. It is unlimited on the other types of brewing, distillery, and winery operations. It's only on the retail side that's limited. And that's what they mean. So I see why it's confusing. You're thinking, wait a minute, I can go to a pub. That pub has a BDL. So they can sell those goods because they have a beverage distillery license. That's different than a tasting room. They can go to a restaurant and eating place and buy that same beer, because they have a license for that type of distribution. The struggle for the traditional industry is these guys want to be bars without buying a bar license. So they've come a long way on allowing some flexibility with tasting rooms, up to three drinks. They've come a long way on allowing additional expansion of that industry. They're now willing to allow other activities, which they had the clamps on for years. But it's just a different license type for the others that are still based on a population cap. Does that answer your question, Senator Stedman?
Follow-up, Senator Stedman?
So a tasting room is just for a small group of people to have, like, three drinks or three samples, and that's it?
Well, you can say small group of people. I can tell you that I am someone who enjoys our local Kenai River Brewing. I shouldn't be. This is, like, product placement here. But I enjoy Kenai River Brewing, and it's not always a small group. They are competing directly with the alcohol industry that has BDLs and REPLs. They're just doing it three drinks at a time.
I don't understand the acronyms.
Beverage distillery license is a bar. A restaurant eating place is a restaurant that serves alcohol. And these brewery retail licenses, they don't have a bar license. They're very limited on what they can do. But my point was that it could be a very large group. Some of these are large establishments that serve a lot of people on a daily basis.
Further questions? Senator Olson, no further questions. You're good to go. No further questions?
Call for the question, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon me?
Call for the question to vote on it.
Thank you.
At ease, Mr. Chairman.
At ease. We're back on the record.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I withdraw the call for the question. I'm withdrawing the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Okay, any further discussion? Senator Wilikowski, sir, could you touch on the fiscal notes, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There are five fiscal notes. One is OMB component 768 from the Department of Judiciary. It has a $40,300 fiscal appropriation in 2023 from the UGF. There is a second one, OMB component 2476 from the Department of Revenue Tax Division, that has an indeterminate fiscal note in 2023 and in every year out. Fiscal note OMB component 3314, Department of Family and Community Services, Juvenile Justice Probation Services, has a zero fiscal note in 2023 and every year out. OMB component 3119, Department of Economic Community and Economic Development, the Allocation Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, has a fiscal note of, this is DGF, $244,900 in FY 2023, and that is for one full-time position, one temporary position. In 2024, there's a fiscal note, again, this is all DGF, $420,100, that's two full-time positions, one temporary position, and then there's a UGF, change in revenue, of $479,200. FY 25 through FY 28 has a fiscal DGF fund source of $236,000 for two full-time positions, and then a change in revenues to the UGF of $395,400 in FY 25 through FY 2028. Last one is OMB component 2360, Department of Community Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Allocation, Corporations, Business and License, Professional Licensing, and that has a zero fiscal note for every year.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski, for covering those fiscal notes. Seeing no further discussion, will of the committee? Seeing none, we're going to move this bill, and we are adjourned.
Sir?
Wait, Senator Stubman?
Yeah, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Senator Stubman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that the Finance Committee move committee substitute for Senate Bill 9, Finance, Version G, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. Please stick around and sign the committee documents. We are you're getting ready to adjourn. I got one more page at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. We have a capital budget overview. So I guess I'll still be here in the morning at 9. Thank you. We are adjourned.